Peter's not a guy to hide behind things or, you know, he tells it how it is, which, you know, and again, I think that's why he's so good for our game. I was shocked at that, to be quite honest. I just found that really hard to believe. And, you know, like I say, I was brought up with rugby league. I was playing when I was 5 years old, and I've always been part of rugby league, you know, my whole life. So for me, that was a huge shock. And to be quite honest, it's something I try not to think about and just think about, things, I suppose, I can't control at the moment, but as I said, I try not to think about that because that basically, you know, it scared me, I suppose.
Craig Bellamy, coach of the Melbourne Storm, about to head back to your calls very shortly on what the new age bogan is driving, especially not just now, but in the future with the demise of Holden. Got a few coming through on the speckled text that I'll read to you shortly, but jump on the line and we'll take a call or two. 1-300-736-736. If you can give me a bogan update. In the meantime, before we get your calls up, Shandor Earle has been good enough to join me, star winger from the Melbourne Storm. Welcome to you, Shandor. Thanks for joining me on the program.
No problems, mate.
You just heard Craig Bellamy talking about the future of it. Everything seems to move 1 week to the next, 1 day to the next. A few weeks ago, we were talking about having a hub or an isolation island. A few people were poo-pooing it. Some people are still saying that it wouldn't get up and running. It's going to be, whatever happens, it's going to be probably difficult for all 100% of the players to be of the same want. How are you reading it at the moment?
Yeah, I'm struggling with it a little bit. I think for those people that are within rugby league circles, you know, you hear the news, you listen to the Prime Minister, but then you've got the NRL point of view and it's sort of on the extreme other side, very optimistic. So it's kind of throwing me around a little bit. It's a little bit frustrating. I know I sort of share the view of the players, but at the same time, players are eager and committed to get back playing and do whatever it takes. I just sort of hope that, you know, we can get the public support of the fans. And it's not about financial gain. It's not about anything about that. It's about everyone wanting to play the sport they love. It's about wanting to entertain the people who are sitting at home. And if we can do that in a safe way, which, you know, I think we've done pretty well at this point, then, you know, I'm all for it. But, yeah, I don't know if the island thing would work, but there's some good ideas being tossed around. So they can sort something out. It'd be pretty cool.
So do you think your own health and safety would be okay? It's just a matter of the perception of rugby league taking place whilst in other countries of the world we still have, you know, a horror show going on. Even if in Australia we get everything under control and we here get to zero in 3 months' time.
Yeah, I do think it is a bit of that. I do believe that there'll be some measures that definitely need to be taken. I think, you know, if they can set up a plan where all players adhere to some strict guidelines in terms of quarantining themselves in and around training and games and, you know, doing what needs to be done when playing games and through travel. And I think there's enough initiative there to, you know, there's no cases within rugby league at the moment and you want to avoid that. And with some testing and just monitoring the health of everyone and some really, you know, logistically some good things put in place, I do think it's possible. You know, we just need, like you said, that the right perception and some public support.
So you're doing more now than you actually have to by law. For example, I do go into Fox Footy and work in that environment with 10 to 15 other people in that building of an afternoon. So I don't go to the supermarket even though I can. I don't go and go for a jog in a busy park because I don't want to do that. I'm sort of going the extra yard. I'm happy to stay home for, you know, 3-4 days in a row if need be just to go the extra yard. What are you doing at the moment? Are you going the extra yard to, because you know that as a rugby league person, you know, if one rugby league person tests positive, then the whole initiative can get shut down?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we were really cautious around that time where we were interacting with each other and the competition was still going. For ourselves, we are just, you know, we're within the guidelines in terms of when we need to go to the groceries, we go to the groceries. There's no socialising. You know, we all have our little setups gym-wise at home. I've been commonly training with one other player at the park where we train, which is basically isolated every time I go there. So just getting that done. So bar keeping good health, like a good general health, and being indoors, getting done what I can and getting some food, that's pretty much where it lies. But, yeah, I know that the players would be pretty keen to, you know, take all measures, whatever it takes, if it means that we can get this competition up and going. So boys are committed to, you know, isolate where needed and just take those extra measures, as you mentioned.
Tuina Chandor-Earl, a star from the Melbourne Storm, about an NRL date in some time in the future where they might be able to get up and running. Do you see maybe when it restarts, Sandor, one or two players saying, no, I'm not doing it because I'm not leaving home for a three or four week block because of my family circumstance, but other players saying, yeah, I'm 100% in. So you do get some players actually excusing themselves from it?
Yeah, I think there's potentially an opportunity for that to happen. What I would say is I do think that one-off island, logistically, to me, it doesn't make sense. I was having a joke with Belzer the other day, actually, just saying, how are you going to feed 16 teams, like, with their whole squad there? Like, can you imagine the food they'd be going in and out of that place? You know what I mean? But, like, I just think there are some... I've had whispers of some different things that could happen and the way it could work. So it is interesting. But, yeah, definitely isolating from families for long periods of time, that's just not going to work. And I don't think there'll be full buy-in from that. But taking precautions around travel and, you know, isolating throughout those processes and different things, that's probably our best option. When that's going to happen, yeah, I don't know.
How long's too long, then, do you think? I was talking yesterday about if we have three separate hubs in the AFL, you know, 16 hubs, it might be 3.5 weeks or 3 weeks at a time. Do you think that's too long? What do you think's too long to be isolated if you have, you know, like a 3.5 week away period? Is that too long?
I have the luxury of not having those sort of commitments in terms of kids and stuff like that. But, you know, a couple of weeks is going to start to put some strain on. The obvious thing is, you know, when it comes down to making those decisions, there is some sacrifice around making sure that you stay financially viable. You know, you're talking about these people that have commitments to their wives and their kids. They've also got mortgages and things to care about. So I think if when it comes to it, risk for reward, obviously, but some sacrifice would be allowed. But yeah, the circumstance you're talking about months apart, I don't see how that could be, you know, that could be floated, really.
So you said you'd heard a few whispers. Can you whisper a couple of the whispers to me?
No, just in terms of, like, obviously, I think there's some strategies around when the comp starts. You know, with the NRL, I think we are sort of lucky that we don't have to share any stadiums or anything like that come towards the end of the year. So if we had to play towards the end of the year, I think the vibe is that that could potentially happen. And whether it's July, August, September, I still think we're in the hunt to be able to play some sort of competition, which leaves us in a fairly decent position, you know what I mean? So I think if we're working towards any of those, it would be good. But, yeah, this, you know, these talks of us kicking off earlier are a bit of a shock to me, but, you know, welcomed. But, yeah, just a bit of a shock. And as I said earlier, it sort of throws everything around. But, you know, the other chat was, you know, you've seen in the media about the conferences, which is similar to what you just mentioned about splitting groups up, which could work. And, you know, bring them down to Melbourne, I say. We've got I think we're controlling things quite well. You've got Amy Park. We could split everyone around different areas of Melbourne. That'd be nice.
So, yeah, especially for you. So do you think, is there a feeling that the players want to do, you know, when the health aspect is under control to a relative stage in Australia? I'm talking, you know, 3 months' time here. But do you think that in 3 months' time, if the social restrictions are relaxed a bit and the government, you know, virtually gives it the rubber stamp, is there a feeling amongst the players that you want to do something for the fans because the fans want to have their rugby league? Or do you think it's not about that, it's about just doing what's right for yourselves and not thinking beyond that?
Oh, no, the fans is a huge part of it. At the end of the day, none of these sports exist without the fans' support. You know, unfortunately, it looks like the restrictions are going to take away opportunities to go to the games, but we're lucky in Australia we flourish with massive broadcasting deals which give everyone the opportunity to watch their sport. And, you know, I think at a time like this, it might seem silly, but, you know, it's not. It goes beyond entertainment. It's something, giving some people a purpose and something to be really interested in. And we as a nation, we just love our sport. So I don't think it's not about having rugby league players, AFL players, any of these sports, giving them compensations and them being allowed to do different things. We're talking about some seriously tight guidelines around travel, around isolation, all this stuff to be able to get a game done. And it benefits us, of course, but it benefits the fans. So as you said, if it's done right, I think if we can change the perception and have some support around it, when the right time comes in maybe a couple of months, I think I think the platform's there to make it happen.
There are a lot of things that are still happening, you know, that are still open and operational, and there's, you know, reality TV shows still being filmed, and there is some part of the entertainment industry that's keeping going, and I'm part of that as well. And, you know, Dan Murphy's are open. That's not necessarily an essential thing, but, you know, in this society, we're trying to keep as much business operational as possible. What about the people saying that sport's a luxury we don't need?
Yeah, well, obviously I beg to differ. For myself, I'm involved in it. It's my livelihood, but, you know, I still think we're in the honeymoon period. What have we've been at this stage for all the best of a week, you know what I mean? Let's talk in 6 to 8 weeks and start to wonder if, you know, if we can follow the right guidelines and make this work, then we'd want sport. So I think it's about looking forward. But, yeah, I really hung up on the thing you said about perception. I just think it would be great for all the games and all the different sports to come out and, you know, express the things that they want to put into play logistically and make sure that, you know, all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. And if we can make it work and bring sport to everyone at home and we're able to continue to do what we love, then I think it's, you know, I think it's worth looking at. So I'm optimistic, as is everyone else, but, you know, I think we would all agree, you just don't know what's going to happen with this stuff. Like,
yeah, we don't. Yeah, so we wait a couple of months and then see what's available then and possible then. Hey, I really enjoy your update positivity in your voice, though, Sandor. I've got to say, it gives, I think, Melbourne Storm fans and people who have footy in their blood, people like me, you know, a bit of a pump up as well, hearing you positive about what might be able to happen, you know, 2, 3, 4 months down the track. So I really appreciate your tone.
No worries, mate. Yeah, well, that's all you can do in this time, isn't it? You sort of try and stay productive, get everything done you can. But I think if we're all optimistic and, you know, have the right perception around certain things and, you know, let's do the right thing and make sure that this doesn't affect people. Obviously, it's something that, you know, we don't want people's health and safety is first and foremost. But if we can get this done the right way, I think everyone should throw their support behind Australian sport.
Had a Melbourne Storm fan text in as well, Shandor, saying, is your podcast back on? They're a massive fan of your podcast last year. Is that still available?
Yes, we're launching the first episode of Season 2 comes out on Friday. So I'm very excited. I've set up a little podcast studio at home and I've, you know, the technology has been all new to me, but suss that out. And like everyone else, just trying to work out how you can make life go on from home. So I'm very excited about that.
Okay, hey, by all means, give me a buzz and send me a text and let me plug it whenever I can, Shandor. I'd love to do that for you.
Legend, I appreciate that, mate.
Shandor Earl, winger from the Melbourne Storm, star from the Melbourne Storm. Take a break. More of your calls after at 1-300-736-736. And after the break, we're also going to play a little bit of What's Open. So if you want to jump on the line and let us know if your small business, your medium business is open, you're employing, you're up and running, but the world doesn't know about it, give yourself a plug. Get on the line or send me a text right now and I'll read out your text to give you a plug. 0433 98 11 16, the speckled text number. I'll read out your texts for your business and we'll take a few of your calls as well after the break because our community is doing it tough, absolutely, and we want to give you a helping hand at SEN. By the way, also, speaking of helping hands, small businesses trying to navigate through this unseen economic challenge, and together with the Australian Institute of Business, aib.edu.au, Australia's number one online MBA provider. At SEN, to help, we've launched the SEN Small Business Grant Initiative. Grants of up to $100,000 are available in lots of $5,000 for an SEN advertising campaign. Simply tell us why your business needs a helping hand at sen.com.au/grants. Thanks to the support of the Australian Institute of Business. Couldn't do it without them. You can study with Australia's number one online MBA provider, the experts in online learning. Enroll today, aib.edu.au.